Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and welcome back to Even More News / Worst Year Ever, the crossover. My name's Katie Stoll.
Hot cinematic universe.
Even more yes. Worst years ever to come. Joining us today, if you hadn't guessed, is our co-host from Worst Year Ever, Robert Evans, and our glorious producer, hey. Sophie Lichterman. Hi, guys. Nice hey. To see you today.
Did you know Antifa cooed the Capitol yesterday?
Yeah, we were all there.
Yeah, I heard that because I was there.
Doing the classic anarchist thing of fighting to keep a president in power.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was there, and every few minutes I would shout, "Let's go inside! Let's go inside!" Mm-hmm. And they finally did.
I was gently tapping on the window, gesturing to someone to let me in politely. Did you guys see that video? That video exists.
Yeah. By the way,
before we go too far down this rabbit hole, because we could and we will, but this is even more news, and we start every episode by wishing everybody whatever holiday it is. And so today I need to wish you guys all a really happy National Bobblehead Day.
Oh my God. I knew today was important for
it
some
reason. It was something.
Reason.
Yeah. It's hard with a coup and our duties to Antifa, but we joke, we digress. Today we have reconvened to continue discussing yesterday's attempted coup in our nation's capital and around the country. To be honest, many insurrections around the country as well.
And yeah, I guess in insurrection, coup, putsch, it's a lot of different words to be used.
Where do we begin? All right,
Where
we left
we
off yesterday. People were finally getting control of the Capitol. Presumably, police eventually arrived or decided to do something about the situation eventually.
Decided to use a fraction of the violence that they use on crowds of peaceful protesters angry that police shot somebody.
Very generous.
Rad as hell.
Start with a conversation we had before we began recording, which is, do we believe that the cops were in on this in some capacity? Do we think that there is something fishy to be explored? I already know our answers, but let's share them for the listeners.
Yes.
Like, come on. The lack of show of force.
Robert.
There's no way that people would have been able to get into the places that they did.
Well, most cops like Trump.
Most cops like Trump.
They like the president.
The woman who was shot dead was a former police officer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robert, but I liked your answer before we started,
Thank you.
I'm not going to plagiarize it. So I'll let you share it.
What was my answer? I've
Well, before we started
Katie,
recording,
I remember nothing from more than 11 minutes ago.
That's fine. I'll refresh. I have a memory like a sieve, so I've got this.
Oh no!
Yeah, I believe you said something like maybe. No, you said it's likely that maybe one or two were involved. Not likely that right. The entirety of the DC police force, which I don't think anyone assumes.
And yeah. Just as someone who watches police do things way more than any healthy person should, I don't believe most of them knew what was happening. Like, people are rightfully angry at, like, the selfies and the cops who are, like, kind of welcoming them in. But again, if you actually pay attention to their body language, they're not, like, angry, but they're very confused. Like,
right.
They don't, like, it is very much a I don't know what the fuck to do right now sort of situation, which isn't good. Like, I'm not trying to, like, apologize for their behavior, but, like, this was not a case where the Capitol Police were, this is not a case where the Capitol Police were all in whole hog on a coup, but there was a Business Insider article that has some flaws. For one thing, the article used as evidence that there may have been inside work that video that everyone is sharing of the cops opening a gate and letting protesters through. That video does not show what everyone thinks it says. The person who posted it has pointed out that that was not them letting people onto the Capitol. It was a different area. They were letting a crowd into an overflow area, basically. They were not letting people get onto the Capitol. It doesn't show what people think it shows.
Right.
Which is not, again, not to mitigate their incompetence. But that article also had an interview with a French law enforcement agent who was responsible for doing security for French government facilities. I'm just going to quote from the article. The French police official said they believed that an investigation would find that someone interfered with the deployment of additional federal law enforcement officials on the perimeter of the Capitol complex. The official has direct knowledge of the proper procedures for security of the facility. The security of Congress is entrusted to the U.S. Capitol Police, a federal agency that answers to Congress. So that's and that seems possible that there was one or two people who had some sort of foreknowledge of what was happening. Again, absolutely not confirmed. No hard evidence and no physical evidence for anything but the expected police incompetence and their lack of willingness to police the far right, which is there has happened for years, very well documented, without anybody committing sort of nefarious
crime.
You
also have an article out on Business Insider today talking about this, which I encourage everybody to go read when you're done listening. It is befuddling, and the questions are being asked, which is good, how they got to the different areas inside the Capitol, heavily armed, usually areas that are closed off, locked, not available to the public. Nancy Pelosi's office. How does somebody physically get in there? Those are all questions that we do not know the answer to.
I mean, they also turned down help.
The D.C. Mayor asked for National Guard 3 days in advance.
Offered. Yeah, and the National Guard did. There's actually a potentially reasonable reason why the National Guard did not want to get involved, which was that they would have technically been under President Trump's, like, control if they had been activated in D.C.
In D.C. specifically,
And that also, like, I can see a perfectly decent National Guard commander being like, well, I don't want to be in that position, and I don't want the National Guard to be in that position.
Well, but Donald Trump hold off from allowing them to go?
Yes. Initially? I mean, there was not a deployment ahead of time. I'm just talking about their delay on the day of the coup.
Got it.
What do you guys think about these rumors that Pence was in control yesterday and that he was the one giving commands and that people in the circle were not taking commands from Trump anymore?
I don't know.
I could see them being somewhat true, but that's a pretty good transition to the fact that the president has not been stripped of power.
This is fake. This is fake news. He was stripped of his Facebook and Twitter power, which is what he holds most dear to his heart.
Yeah,
okay, that's too.
And he's special. And
that's
Twitter
where his power
and
comes
Facebook
from.
Said they don't think he's special and they don't love him.
Well, that's something. Strong words from social media. but in general, he has not been censured as was at least expected from Congress last night, articles of impeachment have not been filed yet. The 25th amendment has not.
lots of talking.
They said they was gonna.
They said they was gonna. And well, today I've seen a lot of emphatic. If the 25th is not invoked today, then tomorrow articles will be filed. All of that's not easy. I know people keep saying the 25th, but that involves cabinet signing off on it, bringing it to Congress, to, you know, the leaders of both chambers, you know, and then the president apparently will have an opportunity to respond, which would reinstate his powers. So those are, there are a lot of steps to that. But of course, the first step does not seem to have happened, at least from what we know at the time of this recording.
No way.
And I mean, we're already seeing, you know, cabinet members resigning, members that we would need if the 25th was going to be invoked.
No, I mean, it is resigning, but I think it's really important to do. I do think that, like, that is that both that and prosecuting the motherfucker are important. Like, it's like, and again, this is like, I keep being torn because, like, I don't believe we should have anything that resembles a government in its current form. I think we should have a society. I'm not a believer in the top down power structure that we have, because it's bad and it works bad. But I don't think there's no value in a democracy. It is better than a lot of other alternatives. And if you're going to have a democracy, you have to punish people who do things like this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I agree. I think that resigning in many ways, I mean, if you're not going to do something else, at least there's the symbolic gesture of like, I do not condone this. But if the 25th is actually an option on the table, then, you know, this is your time to actually
use
your position to do something about the situation.
Also, symbolic gestures are useless. Symbolic gestures don't do anything, and they're not going to do anything.
Yeah, and taking him out of power early is not symbolic. That is, for one thing, it'll reduce his ability to pardon everybody who committed crimes.
Exactly.
Including himself.
Including himself, which you would like to do.
Yes, only the best, you know, an innocent person definitely seeks to pardon themselves.
But, like, until any of these people actually do or say something of substance or consequence, like, the praise is just, it's so embarrassing to watch. Even like John Kelly today, like, I would support getting rid of him if I were still in the cabinet. Mm-hmm. Motherfucker, you're the chief of staff. Like, it's just empty bullshit. It's the end of the term. So now it's safe for them to do it.
Speaking of emptiness and gestures, did you guys tune back in last night once everybody reconvened to finish certifying the election?
I saw some of that, yeah.
I have thoughts. Yes, that part where we watched everybody either yield, a lot of quotes, but, you know, just using the opportunity to condemn yesterday's actions in very strong words, and nothing happened. I'm like sitting here watching,
now what?
Like, yes, and? Now what? What are you going to do? Come on, guys. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Nothing? Nothing.
We have CNN and Fox. The other thing that keeps pissing me off is, like, CNN and Fox repeatedly calling this anarchy, anarchists, all that stuff. Like,
because again,
anarchists love nothing more than to go after, than to keep an authoritarian president.
They love
their
law
and
order president.
That's absolutely anarchist stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
The president who tweeted about anarchists many times over the past year, and how it's really frustrating and awful.
It's infuriating. And like the shit from Matt Gaetz, where, like, this is fast. Matt Gaetz claimed in his speech before Congress that members of Antifa were there at the head of the crowd egging everything on. Mm-hmm. And his evidence was the security firm supposedly had visually matched one of the people in the crowd with a Portland Antifa member. And that security firm came out and said, "This is not accurate. We did no such thing, and we will sue you if you do not take these claims down." Like,
yeah.
It's,
Gates
but they still
of the
spread
ones.
Hundreds of thousands of times on Twitter, by the way. So fuck
by
it.
A
so
congressman.
Useless.
By a congressman. By a congressman.
By yeah, a congressman.
He needs to be punished. That is not legal. It's
is
not,
there, is like, there something, is there something relevant to, like, right-wing violence against, like, government buildings and then blamed on
yeah, the president's executive order means that all of the people who went onto the Capitol can be imprisoned for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Nice. They won't be, but nice.
It is not. Like, they should not be. The vast majority of those people, I don't believe, should do time. I think the people who incited them, I think the people who did damage, I think the people who committed assault.
Yes.
I think the folks who were in there with guns and zip ties, I think people like Elijah Schaefer, the right-wing live streamer who was urging people on, people like Tim Gianet, Baked Alaska, the people who, like the media figures who were urging them forward as it was happening, absolutely should be punished.
Not the vast majority of people milling around up there, no.
Because to be quite frank, the same thing was happening to them that has happened to an awful lot of people who engaged in widespread property damage or did stuff like light cop cars on fire in the BLM protests. Some of the folks who did that, it was a considered action that they chose to take, and I'm not condemning that, by the way, but it was a considered action that they planned. But most people who do stuff like that in a mass civil disobedience are caught up in a moment. And I fundamentally don't believe, left or right, that if you get caught up in a moment like that, if you're not murdering people, you shouldn't lose the rest of your life because of that.
Right. No, I do agree with you completely about that. But circling back to a conversation about last night's election, yes, grandstanding, it's just, okay, there's a few things. Even after all of that, how many Republicans continue to vote against certifying the state's results?
Seven.
Congress.
Well, Jesus. That's the senators.
Senate, yeah.
But then in Congress.
Oh, yeah. More than, yeah, 100.
Yeah, and that is ghastly. I mean, how do you even continue to work with these people? I don't know. I would
with
hope
respect
that they,
and civility and reaching across the aisle for compromise, Katie.
Biden's going to lead us to that brave
Come
new
on.
World. I gagged when Kelly Loeffler stood up right after reconvening. She, if you guys missed this, she noted that coming into the day, she had planned to object, but after today's events, changed her mind. And said that while there were some irregularities, I do believe that this election is valid and can be certified. And I want to take this moment to say that anybody who walked into yesterday planning to object, got derailed by the coup, the insurrection, the siege, coming back, changing their mind, you're still... Mm-mm. This is still on you. These people came because of you. That's my point.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Holly, given the, like, what they refer to as the communist fist, like raising his fist to all the protesters as he walks into the thing. Every single thing that Cruz has said at public events.
Yeah.
Cruz is the worst one.
Cruz is by far
worst.
I mean, Gates,
also,
but, I mean, they're all
worst
awful.
Face. In
they're
Senate,
all just so.
Yeah,
awful.
No, it's they don't get to do it. It's the. Yeah. It's the sowing reaping tweet. Me sowing. Ha ha ha. Fuck yes. Me reaping. Oh, no, wait, no. Whatever. You know the tweet. It's just, it's frustrating because they're doing the thing that they're going to get away with.
Yeah. And that brings me to my next question. What happens now? I mean, we don't actually know what happens next. It's anybody's guess.
We don't know that the people responsible are going to get away with it, right?
Yes.
Like that's not like at the moment, like when it happened, there was not any sort of like real response to it. There were like 12 people arrested. For reference, there have been nights in Portland where 30 people were arrested for yelling at a police station. Like that is infuriating. That said, we don't know that, like, right now there is a massive FBI dragnet going on. And a bunch of these guys are getting calls. And there have already been a huge number of charges, like a significant number of charges dropped. And will be more by the time this... It's possible that several hundred people will catch serious charges. I just don't know. It's possible that the government will completely shit the bed on that, too. Who knows?
I do believe that at least some percentage of people will... face repercussions for their actions yesterday. I hope it is the people that truly deserve it. But I'm also referring to the president. To the president's
yeah,
right.
It would be great if the president faced
it
consequences
would be great, but
for trying to become a dictator. Yeah.
No, I do not know how we are all continuing business as normal, how we continue to continue business as normal without something happening, without some action, some that shows that this is wrong, that this can't happen. I'm reeling about that right now.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think, you know, there's some people who physically participated yesterday that will probably pay consequences. But like, that's not, I'm less concerned about that.
Yeah,
I am. Sorry.
No, I'm more talking about like the Cruises and the Trump
yes.
of it all.
Yeah,
the actual people who like did this.
Yes, I am extremely concerned about those people, and they probably won't face consequences
probably.
And will probably all get very nice book deals when they should be. Do you guys, have you all ever heard of the Tarpeian Rock?
No.
So in Republican Rome, for a while there, the Romans were very protective of their democratic traditions and were really, really cagey about the possibility of a tyranny. And so when you committed treason in Rome and you were convicted by it, they had a hill that overlooked this big rock on the ground, and they would throw people onto the rock, and it would kill them because they would fall from a great height onto the rock, which would shatter their bodies. And that is what they did to people who tried to destroy their democracy. They hurled them onto rocks, which I don't think is a bad thing to do with people who try to destroy your democracy.
Yeah. Well, because if you don't throw them onto a rock, then, like you said, they get book deals, they go on MSNBC, they go on all these things, and then it tells anybody else that they can keep doing it. The more you get away with stuff, the more you're going to do it later. The more other people will do it later. This if the people, aside from the people who participated physically, these other people, if both of these groups don't actually pay any consequences, then it's going to happen more and worse in the future.
Did you guys see what James Comey said?
No.
What did James
something about liberty or freedom or like civility?
No. That the Biden administration should not pursue charges for Trump.
Now, did he?
Yeah,
he said that right before all of this happened.
What a smart man.
Yeah. I'm very curious. Joe Biden also said something along those lines recently.
Yes, yeah.
Or like, I'm very curious to know.
I mean, he also appointed Merrick Garland as Attorney General, so I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of action there.
Well, yeah, that's because he still has his phone from 2016 and it's just
I would really like
contacts.
Somebody to just sit down with Joe and say, Joe, they would have killed you. If this had worked, they would have killed you.
Sir, like, I'm also...
Giuliani suggested a trial by combat.
By combat.
Like, they're just saying it.
They wanted to hang Mike Pence, Joe. What do you think they would have done to you?
Real, God.
I have some amount of worries about Inauguration Day.
Not going to be a great day.
No, I'm nervous.
It's not going to be a fun day.
I don't think this story ends here. I know
here. Good Lord, no.
No.
If there's one thing we know about putches, it's that the first putsch is never enough for the people who want to do putsches.
God, I love the word putsch.
It's a great word.
Solid
love
word.
That
solid
we're
word.
Using it.
Solid
word. Makes it all worthwhile, really.
It really does.
Oh, yeah. More putsches so we can keep saying it.
Oh, you know my motto, Cody. ABP. Always be putching.
Always
be putching.
Always be putching at the mall.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
In my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everything is so dumb, dumb, dumb.
The right wing got its new Vicky Weaver yesterday. For those of you who don't know, the reason that one of the reasons that Timothy McVeigh blew up the Murrah Building in Oklahoma City was that a year or two before, ATF entrapped a guy for sawing off a shotgun named Randy Weaver, who lived in a cabin with his family in the mountains of Idaho. And while trying to arrest him for this thing, they shot his dog and his small child to death, and then an FBI sniper shot his wife dead. His wife, Vicky, became, like, for a while, sort of the face of the insurgent right movement in the early 90s, because people were rightfully, like, the Weavers, not great people, especially Randy, friends with a bunch of Nazis. Also, doesn't mean they deserve to be shot in the head by far range for no reason when they're living alone in a fucking cabin. So people got really angry about that. And it was the sort of helped seed a lot of terrorism, including the Oklahoma City bombing. Waco was another, you know, big motivation. And you can already see online and Telegram channels people trying to make Babbitt, the woman who was killed yesterday, mm-hmm. Into a martyr. Because she shouldn't have been killed, because she should never have been in a position where there was a terrified federal agent with a handgun who thought that she might immediately kill his principal. She could have been stopped. The whole line of them could have been stopped by 30 guys with paintball guns full of pepper balls.
Yep.
That crowd would not have held up to that. They had no gas masks. They wouldn't have. You didn't even need tear gas to stop them. Nothing was tried. And so somebody died. Which is not to, like, remove any of her responsibility for trying to break through a window and attack lawmakers, but it should never have gotten to that point, and now these people have a martyr.
Yep. Well said.
Yeah, so we're going to have... Yesterday we talked to Talia Jane, who was there in D.C., and today we're talking to another friend of the pod, Molly Conger. Molly is a socialist dog mom on Twitter, and she was incognito at the storming of the Capitol yesterday, and is a longtime anti-fascist activist from Charlottesville, and we're going to chat with her about all this bullshit.
Hey, Molly.
Hey, how's it going?
Thank you so much for joining us today at the last minute. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I'm just I'm here in my pillow fort trying to, like, re-enter my body.
Yeah, it looks cozy.
Molly, you want to walk us through your experience yesterday? It sounded like a real one.
Yeah, it was. You know, there's always that moment at these rallies where, like, your soul leaves your body, and, like, that's how you get through the rest of the day. Like, I went to an anti-mask rally in November, and there was, like, a George Washington impersonator who got so overcome by, like, the spirit of the Lord that he dropped to his knees and started, like, screaming about how he's a prayer warrior. And I was like, okay, my soul has left my body. I can now enjoy the rest of this event without, I'm not going to have a panic attack. I'm going to be fine because I'm not here anymore.
Grateful for the disassociative state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happened immediately yesterday. Immediately.
Right on. Yeah, that makes sense.
Thank God for small miracles. Okay. What was the question that was asked before my mic fell off?
So, Molly.
End of democracy look like? Is that?
Yeah. Yeah. What did the attempted end of democracy look like?
Oh, Jesus. You know, the Trump speech at the Washington Monument was kind of nothing. Like, he was, I don't know actually where he physically was, but there were thousands of people crowded around the Washington Monument. And it was another one of those moments where you're standing in a sea of people and you think, oh, they all wish I was dead, huh?
That's a nice feeling.
Yeah, it's good. Stuff. It's good. I was wearing a costume, though, so it's fine.
Yeah.
So you were the... Antifa infiltrator that actually did all the damage.
Now, yeah, Molly,
it's true, yeah.
Why did you tear down the gates of the Capitol?
Yeah, I bought a $20 wig off Amazon, and then I did some terrorism.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That worked.
Dude, it was like church revival vibes, you know? I mean, there's always sort of that undercurrent of evangelical fervor at these things. But it was like I was walking through the crowd, or like physically shoving my way through the crowd, because it's very dense. I think we all have coronavirus now. There was, you know, it was like these pockets of people getting overcome with the spirit and giving their own sort of like rousing, screaming speeches about the Tree of Liberty to the people around them. Like, you know, right before a large contingent of us sort of broke off from what was going on the Washington Monument and moved towards the Capitol, I have a video I haven't posted yet of this guy in like full tactical gear, just screaming about how we have to take it back. And then it's like these people are listening to the president talk, but all of a sudden this like nobody guy in a Gadsden flag bandana pulled over his mouth is like whipping them up into a frenzy. And they're agreeing that like, yeah, we should go do violence now. You're right, stranger.
Sounds pretty fashy.
Really easily riled. Like everyone is in this very suggestive state.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
And
they've all been told for so long that it's like, this is the thing that needs to happen that we're going to do. Right. Like that's.
And now's the day. Yeah.
Yeah. Now's the day. What else were they going to do?
And then, you know, I hate to, it's not like I'm disparaging religion, but it was, you know, I don't actually hate that. I shouldn't try to be polite, but it does have this like sort of evangelical tent revival vibe where these people are in this extremely suggestive state, and whatever you say to them in the right tone, they'll agree and they'll do it. They're ready. They're ready to get hyped and agree with, they're ready to yes and whatever act of terrorism the guy next to them in the crowd comes up with. You know, the idea that this was all like a false flag from Antifa is bullshit. Every person in that crowd was ready to draw blood if somebody next to them offered them the implement and gave them a suggestion.
Oh, yeah. Those are the things that I've been laughing and pulling my hair at the most. I don't know. The most, that's hard to quantify. But
it's
all of those
troubling
suggestions that this is just Antifa, the distancing of them. Like, look into who was actually there. We know who was there. A lot of them showed their faces and posted selfies.
Yeah, none of them even attempted Black Bloc. I'm like, come on, rookies.
Noted Antifa cell leader, the QAnon shaman.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, come on. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you join Antifa, you have to get a Falknut tattoo. It's, I don't know, it's weird. I mean, they pay for it, so it's not so bad.
Cool.
I thought that was Soros a weird money, call, to be honest. Yeah.
It was weird. I mean, mine's my butt.
As it should be.
Yeah, that way people can't see it as easy.
So were you in proximity as people started to break police lines and get closer, you know, breach the Capitol?
Right. So a little before one, you know, I downloaded the MAGA rally guide, the downloadable brochure that was available online.
Oh, organized of them.
Oh, yes. No, this woman like took it upon herself to, you know, all the different events that were taking place. She made a little infographic with a map and like a description of each event. And so I had my downloaded MAGA rally guide. And so I knew at 1 o'clock we were all going to the Capitol. Everyone was going to the Capitol at 1 o'clock, according to the map that I downloaded. So I don't know why the DC police didn't know about it. I found it on Parler.
Wow.
I know why they didn't know about it.
Oh. Okay, so you followed your map at one.
Yeah, so at about 10 to 1, I started walking towards the Capitol, and it's about a mile and a half, so it took, you know, it's like 25 minutes.
At least you got your steps in.
I got my steps in, so I walked down the length of the National Mall, you know, our beautiful National Mall. I don't know if you've been there before, maybe
it is
recently.
Nice, yeah.
There's never not cops there. There's always just a million cops there. They're like park ambassadors, they're park police. There's cops everywhere at all times, all the time in D.C., because it's Washington, D.C. I didn't see a single fucking cop. I saw zero policemen. I saw no cop cars. No cops.
Wow, man.
I didn't see a woman take off her pants and squat down in the middle of the National Mall and cover her bare ass with a Trump flag while she took a piss. But I saw no cops.
Yeah. Wow.
First of all, ew.
I mean, to be honest, the proper use for a Trump flag.
Yeah.
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 That part's fine.
What about you? I think peeing outside is noble and correct. There were no porta potties, which,
yeah.
According to everyone I passed on the mall, was a communist plot directly from Muriel Bowser to hurt them.
It's amazing because whether they're angry, they're worried about left or right wing demonstrators, the people in charge in this country always respond to demonstrations by trying to deny people bathrooms. And it just means that piss gets everywhere.
We're
That's the only
anyway.
Thing that it does.
We're
going to pee. Yeah.
I actually am a big proponent. I love peeing outside somewhere. That's a fun fact about me. That is true and not a joke.
I'm a nervous peer,
and I got to tell you, it was difficult to empty my bladder while staring at an ongoing insurrection.
Yeah, I mean, in these circumstances, I don't know if I'd been able to go, but give me a nice country road somewhere, middle of the countryside, all about it. Anyway, back to your story.
So according to a video I found online, about a few minutes before I got there, there were, I guess, like six cops and a bike rack trying to prevent people from getting into the Capitol. And they were easily over
brave of that bike rack.
Yeah. And, you know, according to that video, that interaction was brief because by the time I got there, there were no more cops and everyone was just sort of stepping over this toppled bike rack and onto the Capitol lawn.
Wow.
So I just walked up to the Capitol with all my new MAGA friends. Again, I haven't posted any of this video because as soon as you got sort of onto the Capitol lawn, like, so sort of, I don't know where the demarcation is, where the National Mall ends and the Capitol lawn begins, but like, once you got close to the Capitol, within that sort of that block of the Capitol, cell phone signal stopped. And it wasn't a capacity thing because there was like a demarcation where if you move past it, your phone worked again. So they're definitely jamming cells. So I haven't posted any of this video yet. But as I approached the Capitol, there's a woman screaming into like her InfoWars megaphone that like, they can't shoot us all. I was like, I'm not there yet. I guess you're there.
You're 10 steps ahead of me right now, man.
Like way ready. But there's like, kids and like old people in wheelchairs and like I almost stepped on a Yorkie. Like there were families there.
How dare somebody bring their puppy?
Kids are fine. Puppies are off limits.
I mean, there are a lot of like hound dogs and tactical gear, which is kind of cool, but like I don't know if a Yorkie should be at
this
level.
What the fuck is a Yorkie doing?
Look, if it had been an all dog insurrection, nobody would have had a problem with it. I support dogs overthrowing the democratically elected government of this country.
Oh my god, we would be way better off. Without a doubt.
Absolutely.
It was awful because I didn't want to blow my cover, so I couldn't look too excited about any of the dogs because I feel like that would...
Fair enough.
Yeah,
I didn't pet any of the dogs. So get up close to the Capitol, and I spent most of the 2 hours that I was up there standing on that... so it's sort of like a semicircle shape in front of the steps. I don't know how familiar you are with the physical space. There's like that semicircle space in front of the stairs, and there's a low stone wall outlining the semicircle. And I was standing on the wall so I could see and also not get crushed to death. I mean, that was really what I was worried about, was getting crushed to death. And apparently that is how one woman died. She got crushed to death. So valid fear.
That's great. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I was just chilling there with my MAGA friends. And it quickly got to the point, like I would say maybe within half an hour of me arriving and standing on that wall. So I got there probably around 1:10. So by 1:40, 1:45, there was nothing that they could have done to disperse the crowd without causing trampling deaths. Mm. So really what they should have done was disperse the crowd before 10,000 people were trying to get into the building, is what I would have done. I'm not a police officer, but I probably would have done something before the 10,000th guy showed up.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. That seems like an achievable, would have been an achievable goal for the entire U.S. security state.
I mean, I had like a couple $100 billion poured into this. Like, I bet one guy thought of it and they just didn't listen to him.
Well,
I don't know. They've
certainly been successful at managing loud thousands and thousands of people in the past. Today, for some reason, that playbook went out the window. Yesterday, I'm sorry. Anyway,
weird, because I was in D.C. a couple weeks ago, and the cops were not quite as hesitant to pepper spray or hit people or tackle them or arrest them or drag them away. And it's troubling. I think there's a lot of discourse today about, like, why didn't the cops hurt them more? And I also have that question. Why didn't the cops hurt them more? And that's not because I want people to get hurt by cops. I'm not saying it would be better and cooler if more people got hurt by cops. That's not how I feel on a personal or political level. You know, as an abolitionist, I think it would be cool if nobody got hurt by cops.
Right.
But it does sort of open up a very striking contradiction.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where's the equality?
And it's like, I was thinking today, because they arrested 12 people during the insurrection. There was 12. A night in Portland where a very small group, like 40 or 50 activists, I think it was less than 50, like met up at night to do a secret action where they're just going to like go to a precinct in Portland and yell at it, basically. And for whatever
Sounds
reason,
dangerous.
The police found out and surrounded this tiny group of activists who were like all holding on to each other in a circle and arrested like 30 of them for, again, going to yell at a precinct at night. Twice as many people got arrested as were arrested for attempting to overthrow the government.
Well, here's like a solid parallel, you know, not to center my own experiences, but this is the only narrative that I have that is mine. I was arrested with 12 people. 12 of us were arrested for standing on a sidewalk in front of a church. Quietly, we weren't going anywhere.
That sounds very dangerous.
Yeah,
though.
Terrifying.
Did you were okay, making any Molly, noise.
Horrifying.
Let's be honest here. Did you have your assault sneakers on?
I did have sneakers on. I did. They dumped out my backpack and kept screaming, "Where's your gun? Where's your fucking gun?" I was like, I mean, it's granola bars in there if you want one. Like, I think I have gum.
Are you cranky and hungry? You sound cranky and hungry.
They were seriously shouting, "Where's your fucking gun?"
Yeah, I don't own a gun.
It's amazing.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everything is so dumb.
Yeah, it's hard to not draw the very obvious parallel between this and everything that's happened over the past several months, years. But, you know, all the protest movements that we've been seeing since George Floyd. And incredibly frustrating to also see the comparisons in, you know, I have a person that I've known since high school on Facebook posting, if you didn't care about the protests in December, you should shut the fuck up and get off. You know, it's driving me crazy. Anyway, yeah. I'm rambling now, but
yeah, I'm hearing that comparison a lot, and it's like, okay, here's the thing. The protesters who, for example, in Portland were trying to break into a federal courthouse were doing it because the people of that city in their thousands got angry that federal agents were grabbing people in unmarked vans and nearly killed a kid, and they wanted those specific federal agents out of their home, as opposed to trying to institute a new government forcibly upon 320 million people through violence. There's a difference.
If you don't see the difference, I can't possibly make you see the difference.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to make statements I can't back up, but I would like to make a bet right here and now. That once they serve those warrants, they search some of these guys' computers, they're going to find detailed schematics. They're going to find information about like planned murders of senators.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know
what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like if I broke into the Capitol building, I wouldn't know where to find the things that they, you know, I wouldn't know where to go right away. I wouldn't make a beeline for Nancy Pelosi's office. Like
that's what's puzzling and maddening about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Or one of the things.
There were two streams of people. Three streams. There was the social media instigators like Elijah Schaefer who were just there to egg things on and get a lot of money and donations. There were the normal MAGA people like the folk guy who died of a heart attack where it was just kind of like they were angry and they were going to show up, but they didn't really have a plan. And then there were the people like the guy with zip ties on the floor of the house who came armed with body armor, with firearms, and with plans to try to arrest
and detain
people.
There's some shit on his computer.
Yeah, and yeah, I'm actually like literally in the process. We found a video of him that shows his face afterwards because he's wearing the same shirt while he's drinking in a DC hotel.
Okay. So, wait, how did these people get back out of the building without any cops getting
them? They walked out calmly.
Oh, you didn't hear that quote, did you? Okay, this is in a great New York Times article. A Capitol police officer tried to reason with the crowd. You guys just need to go outside, he pleaded with a man in a green backpack. When asked why they weren't expelling the protesters, the officer said, "We've just got to let them do their thing now."
You don't gotta. You really don't gotta.
No, they had to let them do their thing. That's one of the amendments, right? Let people do the thing.
I mean,
that seems like an amendment.
Isn't that like the opposite of like what cops
do? I mean, I think it would be cool if cops let people do their thing more often, but I think maybe this is one of the times.
The one time.
Look, if there exists a reasonable case for there to be armed men with badges, it's to stop a violent overthrow of the mutually agreed upon government of the nation, right?
Like, I would think
if you're going to have
everyone was arguing like about the rules and the norms and how the bad things couldn't happen because of all the rules and the norms.
Oh, yeah. I do remember. I mean, and not very many people are talking about the fact that, there were three bombs found yesterday?
Yeah. And
three bombs.
The weirdest part was being there with all of our cell phones jammed. The people who are there, you got to figure, like, if you show up to this, it's because you care about it a whole lot. So people who care about it the most are the only people on earth who have no access to information about what's happening. Mm-hmm. So like they're in there and, you know, before the building got breached, I think they like certified some of the votes, like they started doing it. Mm-hmm. And none of us outside know that. We don't know because we're outside screaming at the cops and getting like, I don't know, lightly pepper sprayed.
Gentle pats on the butt with their baton sticks.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, so we didn't know about the bomb. So afterwards when I moved out of the zone, because I was worried about getting stampeded to death, and I got cell signal back. You know, I have all these frantic texts from our friend Hillary, who's like, "You have to get the fuck out of there. There's been shootings and bombs." And I was like, "I don't know. It seemed like the vibe was fine where I was, 100 feet away from where that lady just got murked. Like, we just didn't know about the bomb."
You were there when the woman was shot.
That was inside. She got shot inside.
Oh, she was shot inside.
And I was outside, so not far away, but like when you're there and there's no internet connectivity, you only know about what you can physically see. It's very surreal to be, you know, like the entire Senate is being evacuated because of a bomb and people with guns, and we're just kind of chilling outside, like not knowing about it.
Yeah. Wow.
I feel like maybe
that does sound.
Maybe there should have been dispersal orders because of the bomb, but there weren't.
You'd think.
Maybe.
Hey guys, I know you don't want to go, but like there is a bomb. No. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Molly. What do we do here? Molly.
What do we do?
I
don't know how we come back from this, Robert.
That's what we were saying before we brought you in.
Yeah.
You know, things keep happening.
This might be
like,
the ball game.
You know, like we violated too many rules and norms. Like, I don't know how we go back to regular, but like this time. Like, this is pictures of guys in Saddam's chair, you know, like this is these are pictures that are going to be in textbooks in other countries where they talk about the fall of America.
Yeah.
You really can't put something back in the bottle when the bottle's broken.
And did it have to be the QAnon shaman guy? Like,
of all the guys.
QAnon in a thousand years, people will still be looking at images of the QAnon shaman guy. And I can't think of a more damning indictment of our civilization.
For sure. I mean, that's definitely the dumbest thing I saw online. Molly, my question is, what's the dumbest thing you personally saw yesterday? Obviously, the photo of the shaman guy, QAnon shaman guy, for me, top three dumbest things I've seen. But like, for you personally, what is something you saw?
So there was all this scaffolding outside, like right in front of the Capitol on either side of the Capitol steps. And one of the first things people did was, you know, breach the area around the scaffolding and start climbing the scaffolding. And so there was like, you know, a guy would get up there and wave a flag and everyone would cheer, and then they'd shoot off flashbangs and people would cheer more. And they're, you know, they had their American flags and they had their Trump flags, and there was, you know, some America First flags, the Nick Fuentes thing. And a guy gets up there and he waves a Canadian flag and everyone starts to cheer because the guy got up there, and they're like, yeah, a guy's up there. Oh, what the f-? And then everyone's like, there was no booing, but there was like this sort of murmur of consternation. And this woman next to me, she's probably in her 60s, and she had on like, you know, badly applied bright blue eyeliner and like a Trump temporary tattoo on her cheek. And she looks at me and she goes, that's just not right. Like that's over the line. Yeah. That's where it's not right. How dare.
That is
that's hilarious.
Great story. Story that we would not have been privy to.
Thank you.
Without your firsthand experience.
Just a real treat. Oh, and the gallows. The gallows were good. I'm sure you guys saw pictures of that.
Oh, yeah.
I saw some flags of Georgia, the country.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I guess that's like meme stuff, right? That's like people memeing.
Is it? I don't know.
Think a lot of it might be people just Googled Georgia flag and got the first flag.
Right?
Perhaps.
No, I feel like any Southerner knows that even if you're not familiar with the flag of another Southern state, if it doesn't look like it's probably some minor regiment Confederate battle flag, it's not a real state flag.
You would think
that they would have that awareness.
One hopes.
My rule of thumb is just fly the Texas flag. It's the only flag you need. Just fly the Texas flag.
I definitely got a lot of texts like, what's that yellow flag they're holding, from relatives? And it's like, the one that says don't tread on me, or the black and yellow one that's for the Proud Boys? Like, which one are we talking about?
You got to be more specific.
Yeah, which stupid just yellow flag?
Confused about who is doing the treading at this point.
Right. Yeah, it's very unclear.
Yeah, it kind of seems like they were treading on all of us.
Yeah.
On whoever.
That's
my flag.
All of the liberals and the anarchists and everyone that's not the people storming that building agree on is that, like, well, Trump shouldn't be in charge. Like, some of us also think no one should be in charge, but certainly not Trump.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is that he wasn't allowed to tweet for 12 hours. Mm-hmm. So, nailed it.
Thank God for that.
And he's been banned from Facebook. Finally.
Well, I think he's in timeout at like Camp David now, right?
Yeah. Yes, he is. He's sheltering in place at Camp David.
Yeah, they took away his binky.
Yeah, I do love that.
Is there
not even
a golf course there?
I don't think there is. What is he going to do with himself?
So brave.
He couldn't even go to Mar-a-Lago.
Well, the good news is he can go to Mar-a-Lago 365. Well, actually, he can't. He's not allowed to live there.
I'm not sure. I wasn't sure how that came out. If you guys hadn't heard this, he was planning to make Mar-a-Lago his residence, but the city is trying to stop that. We'll see.
That's good.
Nobody wants it.
Well, because in order, when they built Mar-a-Lago, because it's a historical building, when they converted it to a hotel in the 90s, they had to make a deal with the county that
the deal guy
that nobody would be living there long term. It couldn't be anybody's permanent residence, and they're trying to make that stick. We'll see. Molly, thank you so much for taking time to chat with us today. We would love to have you back on, and I'm sure we will at some point in the near future. And
circumstances, maybe.
And thanks for all your work and your awesome Twitter content and just
being
safe.
You should tell people where they can find you online and how to support you and all that.
You can find me at Socialist Dog Mom on Twitter. And if I'd known I was going to be using that professionally, probably wouldn't have called it that. Probably wouldn't have used that.
But I love it.
But it is me and the dogs. And I think they're the real stars. Now I have to quarantine for 2 weeks. So
yeah,
have fun.
Unless a cop comes to my house to hit me, I'm safe.
All right. Thanks again, Molly.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, well, I guess that's it for us today. Real quick reminder before I go. That we love you very much.
Much.
Everything's so dumb. Everything's so dumb, and it's gonna get dumber.
Great.
I tried. Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story. One passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.